Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning, this week, Dave responded to it a few minutes ago. This is a week when school starts. This is a week when, when school starts, not only does school routine set in motion, a lot of other routines start in motion, right? Sports starts back, fall sports, fall activities, football games, all these things are starting, and I suspect that in the next week or so, as school is starting, you're going to be encountering people you've never encountered before. You're going to be seeing people you've never seen before, or maybe you'll just be seeing people that you haven't seen in a long time. And I wonder, I think for sure there should be an effect upon people when they encounter us that they didn't get when they didn't encounter us. Why? Because we're supposed to be people of the truth. People of the way is what the Bible calls it in those days. People that bear the message of Jesus. And this whole summer we've been talking about having an encounter with Jesus. That's our series for the summer, as we're ending up our summer series. I want to challenge you one more time. I hope this summer you've had some powerful encounters with Jesus. But this morning, I want to ask you to take your encounters with Jesus a step farther than maybe you've ever taken it before. I want to ask you to do this. Take your encounter with Jesus and give it to someone else. Make sure those around you also have the same encounters with Jesus you've had, because you know that's what we've been called to do. We've been challenged to do as a body of believers, as the people of Jesus. We've all been commissioned. Listen to me. We haven't been commissioned to just safely arrive in heaven. Some people, their whole Christian life is just about, I just want to make it to heaven. Well, I understand that takes a certain bit of focus on its own, but understand God's called you to do something more than just safely arrive at heaven. He's called you to take as many people as possible with you. Did you know that? Let's not show up in heaven empty-handed. Well, Pastor, what can I take with me to heaven? Here's the one and only thing: people. Amen? People. I want to make sure we take our sons and our daughters. I want to make sure we take our moms and our dads, our brothers and our sisters, and anyone who will give us 5 minutes of our time to answer the question of what lies inside of you that I don't have in me. Let's give them the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus themselves. It's not just a good idea. I'm preaching this morning. Matthew 28, verse number 19, says it's actually a command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We call this scripture the Great Commission, and the reason we call it that is because we're trying to transfer this idea that the Great Commission is not just a great idea. The Great Commission is not just a great option. The Great Commission is not a great suggestion. The Great Commission is the mandate for all of us as Christ followers, as God followers, to take the gospel we've received and give it to someone else. We're supposed to share with others what Christ has shared with us. When I was a kid, we used to say it this way. Every person is either a missionary or a mission field. How many of you heard that before? Right? We're either people who are reaching others for Jesus, or we are people that still need to be reached by Jesus, because once Jesus truly reaches you, you will want to share with someone else what Christ has put in you. And so this morning I want to talk about how can you and I know some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I stink at sharing my faith. I stink at sharing with someone else about what Jesus has done in my life. I get nervous. I'm afraid I don't know all the answers, which, by the way, welcome to the club if you don't know all the answers. Here's the good news. The Bible has a promise for us that the Holy Spirit will come and help us in moments we don't have the answers and give us answers we didn't even know we had because we didn't have them. The Holy Spirit shows up and gives us those answers in the moment. So don't let what you don't know, I say this all the time, don't let what you don't know keep you from sharing the Jesus you do know, right? And so today, maybe you're intimidated by the idea that God has called you, commanded me and you together to share Jesus with other people. Maybe that's intimidating to you. I understand that. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the t-shirt. I hear you. I feel you. I get it. So this morning, I want to help us all to reach people. But today, we're going to look and see, how did Jesus do it? I mean, he was pretty good at it. I mean, he was, you know, he started with just a few, and now here we are a couple thousand years later and, you know, millions and millions of believers. So how can you and I reach people effectively? How can we reach people like Jesus reached people is the question we're going to answer this morning. And thankfully, God has preserved a record for how Jesus reached people who were far from him. And he did it in Matthew chapter 9. So we're going to read this for our text today. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when, let me just stop right here. How many in the room know a disreputable sinner? Man, y'all are so holy that you don't even know any disreputable sinners. Do I need to define that? Maybe you're so holy you don't even know what that means. Listen, if you don't, you maybe never, maybe you've never been given this homework assignment before. Let me give it to you now. If you are not friends with a sinner, you need to go make a friend with a sinner today. How many more? Y'all want to just say, I got it, or you want me to say that like 10 more times? You got it? I mean, I know that some of us, we've been trying our best to be so holy, we distance ourselves from sinful people, but I can just tell you, you cannot impact people you're not around. I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes, and it's going to be one of my points. In a few minutes, I'm going to say that we're going to learn how to influence people without being influenced by them. And some of you have been trying so hard to not be influenced by people. You've gotten away from people that know Christ, don't know Christ. And because of that, your life is having no impact upon people who don't know Jesus because you don't know any people that don't know Jesus. Friends, we need some friends that don't know Jesus so they can come to know Jesus through you and through me. Amen? Sorry, that was kind of got sidetracked there. Verse number 11. But when the Pharisees saw this, what did they see? They saw Jesus eating with people that weren't, you know, righteous, didn't have their stuff together. They asked, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard them, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices, for I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Father, I'm thankful for every person in this room because I just believe, Lord, you've brought us together for a great purpose today. Even those watching online today, you allow them to tune in today for a strategic purpose. Lord, that we can know you greater, that we can have an encounter with you, but also you've called us together so that we can spread from this place in a few moments and share the good news that you've done in us with others. So I pray that none of us in this room today will be satisfied to safely arrive in heaven. But God, we will passionately pursue arriving there with friends, family, loved ones, and maybe even strangers that we've brought with us because we were faithful to share with them what you've shared with us. So help me today to teach what you want taught. Help me to speak in the way you want spoken. Help us to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, and we'll give you thanks for it. Anybody in the room said amen? I want to just back up and let you know we're reading this account about Matthew from Matthew. Did you pick up on that? And so basically what you're reading, what we just read, was Matthew telling us his own personal testimony. He was sharing with us how he got to know Jesus himself. He was basically telling a before and an after of Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, some of you may be sitting here today, you're watching online, and you're thinking, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't really have a testimony. And I would say, yes, you do. Every Christ follower has a before Christ and an after Christ. And all the world needs to hear from you is who you were before Christ and what he's done in your life and who you are now and what a difference he's made. See, despite what others have told you, I want to tell you this morning, look at my eyeballs. You are not that weird. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Richard, if you needed Jesus, there's other people that need Jesus. You are not so broken down. That's why I'm picking you, because I knew you wouldn't get your feelings hurt, right? You are not so weird that only you need Jesus. No, no. We live in a world that need Jesus. They are not so different from you that they don't need Christ. On the other hand, they're just like you. They need Jesus. They are hungry for Jesus. They may not know his name or ever heard of him, but just as your heart once beated with the emptiness because you didn't know Christ, there are people around you today, their heart is beating, but it's beating with emptiness because they don't know the joy of the Lord that you and I take for granted every day. People need Jesus. And the way Jesus wants to reach them is through you. So Matthew tells his story. He says, this is who I was before, and this is who I am now. If you have ever doubted what your testimony is, maybe you've never been able to put it in the letters today. I'll just give you an exercise when you get home today. Or if you want to do it while I'm preaching, it won't hurt my feelings. Get out a piece of paper and just write a line straight down the middle. And on the left side of your piece of paper, you write this word, before. And on the right side of your paper, write after. You write before who you were, how you felt, what you struggled with before Christ, and now who you are, and how you are able to be successful and victorious after Christ. And if you don't know the answers to that, then I would challenge you to dig in God's Word, and you would be amazed about what the Word says you can be after Jesus. And people need to know what they can be after Jesus, because we, as part of our church motto, I'll get there in a few minutes, but we say it all the time. The reason we exist as a church is because people matter to God. And they matter enough for us to share our story with them. The next few weeks, I said a few minutes ago, the next few weeks, some of you are going to see people you haven't seen in months. Some of you are going to start new relationships with friends, not just the students, but some of you are going to make friends with people in the drop-off line at school. You're going to meet people, you're going to meet other students, other parents at fall sports, at football games, band activities, all the stuff that just starts revolving around school. A lot of people's calendars kind of change. Life speeds up. I heard someone say the other day, I can't wait till school starts so things can slow down. And I thought, what planet are you from? Does it ever slow down when school starts? I don't know. I'm just saying this. It's a great season for each of us. It's always a great season, but it's especially a great season for you and I to allow the Lord to use our lives to speak to others. Now, I want to ask you to do that like Jesus did it. And so to the next minutes, I want to tell you about how Jesus shared, how he reached people, how he shared his good news with people. And we're going to look at Matthew. He shared his coming to Jesus story with us, and we're going to look and see what we can glean from it. And here's the first thing. If we're going to reach people like Jesus reached them, the first thing we got to do is we got to always keep our eyes open. So if you're sleeping this morning, this is a great moment just to open up your eyes real quick And you can be like Jesus. He always kept his eyes open. You'll see this scripture start in Matthew chapter 9. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew. He was always looking for someone else to reach. He was always looking for someone's life that he could impact. And friends, you and I, when we leave this church in a few minutes, we need to leave this place. We need to go to the restaurant. You need to go to school tomorrow. You need to go to work tomorrow with your eyes wide open, looking for people who are hungry for Jesus. And you're not going to recognize them because they have a t-shirt on that says, I'm hungry for Jesus. You're going to recognize them when you hear about their struggles, when you hear about how they spent their weekend investing in substitutes for God instead of investing in God. You're going to hear when you hear their life stories, and we say this all the time, that people matter to God. Right? And so when we live our lives, we got to make sure that we understand when we see the lost, when we see the hurting, that those people matter to God. How many understand that lost people matter to God? Hurting people matter to God. The people that disagree with you politically matter to God. I love how you shouted on that one. People that don't look like you matter to God. People that make different incomes from you matter to God. People that like LSU football matter to God. Right? Which sums up what I'm trying to say this morning. Everybody, every person matters to God. I wonder if this week, if we just lived our lives, every time you saw the face of a person in front of you, every time you were on the telephone, every time you read a scroll on social media, what if every week you saw someone's face or you heard someone's voice, if you just reminded yourself, this person I'm seeing, this person I'm talking to, they matter to God. See, Matthew was a tax collector. I don't know about you, but if my cell phone rings and I look at the caller ID and if it says IRS, I am not saying woohoo. I am hitting decline. Right? Matthew was a tax collector. Does anyone in this room get excited when you hear that the tax collector is knocking on your door? As a matter of fact, I think that is actually an elected official for a lot of counties. And I thought, who wants to run for that? I'm just saying all that to say this. Matthew was someone most people tried to avoid. But Jesus went looking for him. Matthew was a person that everyone else looked past. But Jesus looked right at him. Matthew had spent his whole life as being a person who was a taker. His whole life was about, what can I get from you for my benefit? But Jesus saw him. He saw him in the tax collecting booth. And he thought, boy, if I could just get my message to this man, if he could just hear the good news I have for him, he would transform from a taker to a giver. He would his life would transform from someone who was, his whole life was about seeing what I could get from people to sharing the greatest news with people. You don't know how the people around you, how their life might change if you would just learn to look at them the way that Jesus looks at you. You know, Jesus, or the Word says in Romans chapter 5, that God demonstrated His great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we had all of our stuff put together and we were sitting in church and we had all of our nice clothes on. No. It says while we were yet sinners, right? While we were obnoxious towards God, while we were indifferent to God, while we were doing things in the face of God that should be offensive to any holy God. In that scenario, Jesus came and He lived His life for us and He gave His life for us. 1 John 3 says, hereby we perceive the love of God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. See, He gave Matthew, and He's given us, the same opportunity to meet Jesus just as Jesus gave Matthew. And you and I are the channels, we're the avenues, we're the tools in the hands of Jesus to introduce other people to an encounter with God. And when Matthew had this encounter with Jesus, it changed everything about his life. Everything he used to be known by was just part of his past. It was not part of his present or part of his future. I love what one commentator said. He said the only thing that Matthew kept from his old life and brought into his new life was a pen. And with a pen, he wrote his gospel message that has informed generations about Jesus. Here's what I would say to every believer in the room today. The only thing that has survived your salvation is a tool that God can use to bring others to Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you don't know who I was or what I've done. You don't know what kind of scars I bear. You don't know what kind of things haunt me from my past. Here's what I know. The things that haunt you are the things that are still destroying others, and God can use your hurts to bring healings to those that are still in the pits of hell on planet Earth today. What you think may be some sort of crutch from your past, it might be a ladder you can extend to someone and bring them out of where you used to be. Amen? So we got to pray. This is not a natural. Chris, I'm going to start looking at people differently. It's not a decision I make. It's a heart change. If it's the decision I'd make, I'd just make the decision and move on. Right? All of us in this room, we're good enough to hear this message and think, you know what, I should look at people differently. I think I'll decide to do that. No. We need to pray. God, give us eyes of the Spirit. Because in the natural, here's what you and I do. We look at people on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And we need God to give us supernatural vision to look past the outside. Because sometimes the outside looks good. Sometimes the outside has a Rolex on its wrist and a business suit on. Sometimes the outside is living in a $1 million home and their life is together. Sometimes the outside is, as you're saying how you're going, how's it going, and they're saying, oh, life is perfect. But Jesus isn't fooled by any of that. He sees the inside. So we need to pray, God, help me to see with eyes of God, eyes that see who people are. Number two, if we're going to reach people like Jesus reaches them, we have to believe that no one, would you say that phrase with me, no one. No one is beyond the reach of the gospel. If there was a person to avoid, it was Matthew. See, Matthew, I mentioned he was a tax collector, and let me just give you a little bit of history. The area where Jesus is ministering is actually, they're in a hostage takeover system by the Roman government. You can just imagine if our country was overtaken by, you name in the country of your choice. And now all of a sudden a U.S. citizen says, you know what? You mean I can work for that government and exploit my own people? Yeah, give me that job. How popular would they be? Socially and culturally speaking, a tax collector was on the same social status platform as a prostitute. That's how much clout they had in the society, the community. But Jesus walks in and he says, you know what, I can reach that person. I can change that person. Did you know you have yet to meet a person whose life cannot be transformed by the power of Jesus? And if you're in this room today, maybe you think you are that person. You think you're too far gone. Friends, you're not so far that God cannot completely restore your life, change your future, erase your past, and give you hope like you've never had before. Jesus can change any life, including yours. Including those around you. For Matthew to choose to follow Jesus, I kind of think that maybe following Jesus cost Matthew more than any other disciple we read about. I mean, Peter, James, and John, they left their boats, they left their dad, and they followed Jesus. But we also hear about around the time of the crucifixion, what did they do? They went back fishing, right? So somehow they still had access to their boats. But Matthew, the moment he walked out of that tax collecting booth, there was a whole other herd of other people that were itching for the opportunity to become exploiters. In other words, for Matthew to walk away was not just to walk away for a moment, it's to walk away for eternity. But yet Matthew, when he heard Jesus offer to follow him, he said, "It is worth it." In other words, he'd had the best of this life had to offer and surmised that it was not enough. Whatever the cost, he decided he would follow Jesus. And some of you think, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand the person that sits next to me at work. You don't understand my family member, my father-in-law. You don't understand how hard my sister is. You don't understand how hard this kid one desk over is. You don't understand how hard my neighbor is. There's no way that they could ever be reached by Jesus." And I would just challenge you this morning to understand that anytime you present the gospel, you never present the gospel alone. See, John chapter 6, verse number 44 reminds us that no one comes to the Father unless he's drawn by the Spirit. In other words, there's none of us in this room this morning that are smart enough to wake up one day and say, "You know what, I think I'll start following Jesus." You may have been in Sunday school since you were like before born. Maybe you've been to every church service and you say, "Well, Pastor, I just grew up in this thing and so I've always followed God." No, sir. No, ma'am. At some point, the Spirit of God drew you to the heart of the Father and you responded. Thank God that the Lord reaches down even to churches and draws some religious reprobate kids at times. He draws them to the Father. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. That's none of you weren't smart enough to give your life to Jesus. You were blinded by this world that we live in. But despite the blindness of the world that we live in, the love of the Father drew us and we responded. Maybe it was the first time, maybe it was the second time, maybe it was the 100th time. We responded to the drawing of the Lord. And so when some preacher gave an invitation or some Sunday school teacher gave an invitation or when our friend on the football field asked us if we want to follow Christ, we said yes and our life was changed. Not because that one person had enough faith to ask you, but because he had enough faith to ask if you want to follow Christ, and the Holy Spirit had been drawing and working on setting you up for that moment. I say all that to say this. There are people in your life that you think they look mean, you think they look disinterested, you think they would never follow Jesus when Jesus is already drawing them to the Father. I love what Hosea said. "I led them," King James Version says, "I have drawn them with cords of kindness and ropes of love. And I lifted the yoke from their necks and I bent down to feed them." When I read that passage, "I've drawn them," I'm just redneck enough that I just think of when someone goes fishing and you start drawing that fish in, right? You start reeling them in. At first, if you ever caught a fish, when you first feel that tug on your hook, you have to reel a little bit before you see anything a lot of times. Do you understand there's people in your life that the Holy Spirit is reeling them towards the Lord? They are drawing them to the Lord. I just want to say some of you, you've given up on lost sons and daughters and you think they're running from God. But by the Spirit of God, I just prophesy this morning, some of them are being reeled in by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you think they're running away. You think they're ignoring you. But the power of God is reeling them in with acts of kindness. That's why you can't go to work tomorrow and say they're too hard to come to God, because you don't know that the Holy Spirit is reeling them in and you're the avenue by which they'll discover Jesus. No one is beyond the reach of Jesus. The Apostle Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners. In other words, he was kind of just saying about how he titled himself, "If God can reach me, God can reach anybody." How did Jesus reach people? He kept his eyes open. He realized anyone's life could be transformed. And then the next lesson from this passage, we actually kind of learn it from Matthew. He decided to influence others without being influenced himself. Verse number 10, the Bible says, later. How long is later? 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years. We don't really know. But later, after Christ, after Matthew became a Christ follower, once he was grounded in his faith, he began to think, you know what, I know people who still think the best way to live their life is extorting others. I still know people that think the best way to spend their weekend is engaging in debauchery and engaging in adultery, engaging in things that are destructive instead of building. Matthew began to think, how can I keep this acceptedness I've discovered from Jesus? How can I keep this remodeled person I've become because of Jesus? How can I keep that to myself? So what Matthew did, he got on the phone, metaphorically speaking. Matthew started a life group, right? He had dinner and he told people about Jesus. That's what life groups are really about. They're starting in a few weeks. You can sign up for one starting, I think, maybe next Sunday. But Matthew began to re-engage those people he used to run with and say, listen, let me tell you why I'm not sitting where I used to sit. Let me tell you why I'm not doing what I used to do. Let me tell you why I'm not engaged in the things I used to engage in. It's because of Jesus. Why did Matthew choose to reach out to those that he used to run with? Why did Matthew decide, I'm thankful that now I know Peter, James, and John, and all these other guys, these Christ followers. I'm thankful I know Jesus. But he decided, you know what, it's not enough for me just to hang around with the new crew. I need to reach out to my old crew. Because he loved people enough. Matthew was convinced that those who had yet to follow Jesus needed to follow Jesus. Let me ask you this question this morning. I'll get ready to close. Meet if you want to come to the platform. It'll trick people into thinking I'm closing, all right? Matthew was convinced that following Jesus was the best way to live his life. Listen, don't just reply because it's the thing to do when a preacher asks. I want to ask you this from the bottom of my heart. Are you convinced that living for Jesus is the best way to live your life? Are you convinced that living for Jesus is the best way to live your life? Matthew was convinced. Doesn't matter what people have or they don't have. What they gotta have, what I want them to have, is a life with Jesus. And so he began to invite them. He began to influence people without being influenced himself. He was convinced that any person who's living away from God is living a life that is a life of devastation. Proverbs chapter 13 says this, that good understanding brings favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 4, verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know what they stumble at. Let me just be fully transparent. Living for Jesus can be hard. Living without him is harder. May not look harder in the moment, but it's harder. It's destructive. It's going to end up in a loss. And we can't be happy seeing people living around Jesus. All of Matthew's friends, they lived around Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. So he made it his priority to bring those close to Jesus as he could. So we got to keep our eyes open. We got to decide we're going to influence people for him. And we have to realize, point number 4, that indifference to the lost is not an option for the Christ follower. Look at verse number 13. The Pharisees were watching what was going on. I mean, This is a lot of, we don't know how many hours or days is encapsulated in this paragraph here that we read. But the Pharisees had seen Jesus reach a guy that you really shouldn't reach, Matthew. And now Matthew's invited all these sinners to his house. And Jesus shows up. And these Pharisees say to the disciples, why is your leader spending time with these scum, is the word they use. These deplorable people, why is he with them? See, the Pharisees had no compassion, no interest, and no desire to reach people who were far from God. Instead, they were offended that Jesus would even eat with them. So here's the deal. Growing in God has to lead me to loving others. So Jesus said the scripture. He said, I want you to show mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come to call those who think they're, not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus is telling them that our concern for the things of God must lead us to concern for people. I've been reading this passage over and over the last couple of weeks, getting ready for this morning. I'm about to make a statement, and when I first wrote it down, I wrote it down, and I thought, ooh, can I say that? Is that really true? Is that really the reality of the gospel? After reading the scripture, I kind of came to this conclusion that there's no act more spiritual. There's nothing you can do that is more spiritual than reaching people for Jesus. Paul said it like this, if I speak in tongues of angels, if I'm not loving people, if I'm not reaching people, nothing is more spiritual than reaching people. Pastor, how did you come to that conclusion? Because I can't find anything else in the gospel where it says that all of heaven stops what they're doing and starts rejoicing because a person who is lost finds their way home. Friends, it's time we start celebrating what Jesus celebrates. We start celebrating what heaven celebrates. What's heaven clapping their hands about this morning? They're clapping their hands when a lost person comes home. When someone who's been away from God comes home to God. All of heaven starts celebrating because there's nothing more spiritual than when a lost son or daughter finds their way to Jesus. And you and I have been invited, commissioned, commanded to engage in the most spiritual activity on planet Earth, bringing lost people home. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in the room today, you're not a Christ follower. Can I tell you, I believe at this moment, all of heaven is leaning over the balcony of heaven with their hands 6 inches apart, ready to celebrate as you commit your life to Christ this morning. And I want to ask you, if you're in the room today, you're not a Christ follower, the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart, give your life to me. Give your life to Jesus. That's you today. I'd love to just lead you in a prayer in a few moments. Won't call you out or embarrass you, but I just want to know to pray for you personally in the days to come. But in this moment, you're deciding from this day forward, I'm going to follow Jesus. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. I'm making that decision today. Amen. Secondly, church, would you look at me? Jesus wants to use you. He wants to use me. Students, when you show up at school tomorrow, there's people sitting at school tomorrow already waiting on you. Holy Spirit's been reeling them all summer long. Adults, when you go to the grocery store tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, there's going to be customers that come in. There's going to be coworkers that come in. You're going to be on the phone with people. And you're talking about business. You're talking about whatever. Understand, the Holy Spirit is working people. Our job is just to do our part. To plant the seed. Sometimes you do your part and you think, man, I shared my faith. I said who I was before, who I was after. And they just said, huh. And nothing happened. I shared my faith and they said, that was interesting. I'd like to hear more about it. You know, the Apostle Paul says it like this. Some plant, some water, God makes it grow. Does it really matter if people respond to you when you share what God tells you to share? Maybe it matters to us, but does it really matter if God just uses you as a seed planter today so he can use someone else to be a harvester, pray with that person tomorrow? What matters is heaven gets to clap. Heaven gets to celebrate. And you are part of what God is doing because you responded in the moment. So here's our, this is, I can't make you do this. Really easy to fake it. I understand that. But would you just right now, just authentically pray, God, use me. Starting today, open my eyes. Let me see people as you see them. Let me realize that no one's beyond the reach of the gospel. Help me to be, let me leverage my influences. There's some people that I've had to keep at a distance because of their effect upon me. But some of you, God has strengthened. And even though you're absolutely not going to re-engage in the lifestyle or the acts that you used to do, God's going to use some of those old relationships you have to start drawing people out of what you used to be in. Some of you, the Lord's putting some faces in your heart right now that, hey, I'm going to use you to influence that person. Because we've all decided. The Word reminds us this morning, indifference to the gospel and this indifference to sharing the gospel is not an option for us. So let's just pray right now that, God, would you use each of us today? God, from the front to the back, those watching online this morning, God, use us to reach people. Lord, it's not about our great ideas. It's not about our plans. It's not about schemes. It's not about programs. It's not about having some written preparation, though there's nothing wrong with that. Lord, it's about us just walking into our everyday life with our eyes open, understanding there's people you want to reach. There's people that, Lord, that may seem off limits and disinterested to us, but Lord, behind the scenes, we understand the Holy Spirit's at work, drawing them to the Father's heart. God, I just pray that we will not be distracted or discouraged, but we'll be faithful to plant. We'll be faithful to water. And we're going to let you bring growth. So we commit ourselves this morning to just do our part. Keep our eyes open. Be a person of influence everywhere we can. And to never let our relationship for others, our care for others, move to the point of indifference to others. Let us be ministers of the gospel. Let us be sharers of our faith. I just pray a special enabling anointing upon people in this room today to share the good news, to share the before and the after like never before. Pray that fears will be overwhelmed with faith that you're using them. I pray that their inadequacies will be overwhelmed with the grace that, Lord, you're going to make up for what we can't do. So use us as a church. Use us as families to bring people who are far from you, Lord, to bring them near to you. Because we believe, God, we believe people matter to God. So therefore, we're going to be a catalyst, a change agent of spiritual transformation here in Central Arkansas and around the world. Lord, let it start and continue today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Jesus. Use us, Father. Amen. God bless you for worshiping with us today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. for service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.